Now I'm going to go on to speaking about something much more relishable, which is Sri Vishnu Sahasranama. Continuing discussion of Bhakta Vatsala, the name Bhakta Vatsala, and the phenomenon of Bhakta Vatsalya. Bhakta Vatsala means who is affectionate, protective in a parental way to the devotees. It's the name of Krishna. And Bhakta Vatsalya means having the quality of being protective and loving, like a parent, in relation to his devotees. This Vatsalya Bhav, this feeling, is possible. Generally, people in this world, and even in the spiritual world, when they relate to Krishna in this way, or God in this way, they do so from the platform of themselves being protected and loved by the Supreme Lord. But there's also the phenomenon of taking the role of a parent of the Supreme Lord and exhibiting Vatsalya toward him. That's not the general understanding of the name Bhakta Vatsala in the name of Vishnu, in the Vishnu Sahasranama, but it's definitely to be discussed and considered while we're discussing this name. Bhakta Vatsala, or Vatsalya in general, can be understood to mean to show love, compassion, kindness, protection in a very specific way. There are New Agey so-called spiritualists who talk about love and compassion and kindness in a very general and vague way, but showing in a specific way, that means to a specific person or specific people. When one shows that attitude towards someone who is in the role of an inferior, to someone who is inferior, that one can actually protect, one has the capacity to protect others. Others are dependent upon you. So to have that attitude towards someone, that you want to, out of a loving feeling for them, out of a feeling of relationship and concern, and it's not just some passing concern, just like you may see it, a child being bullied by other children, and an adult may just break that group up to protect the child and go on. But an ongoing relationship, which is unbreakable, the relationship of the parent to the child, is generally considered unbreakable. And definitely in the case of the devotees with the Supreme Lord, it's a strongly established relationship. And especially when that is without reverence. Now, generally, the parents don't have reverence towards the children, but that can be in relationship to Krishna, Vishnu. When the parents realize that my son is the Supreme Lord, then their feelings of affection and protection, they get compromised because they think, well, actually, he's protecting us. I'm just a parent in show. So the really developed and very strong Vatsalya Rasa toward the Supreme Lord is by the devotees in Vrindavan. And we think of Nanda and Yashoda, but actually there are many, 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 many more. The elderly gopas and gopis, that means the fathers and mothers of Krishna's cowherd boyfriends and Krishna's cowherd girlfriends, and the cows of Vrindavan, they also have that feeling toward Krishna because their mother, Dhenu, is one of the seven mothers mentioned. So they also feel, I'm giving my milk to Krishna. So they also have that feeling. Whereas Devaki and Vasudev, Aditi and Kashyap, Kaushalya and Dasharath, they have a feeling of protection toward the Supreme Lord, concern, affection, but that's also compromised by an understanding of his greatness. Actually, in the case of Kaushalya and Dasharath, it's not so much compromised because Rama appears as if an ordinary human being, but at the same time, yeah, it's all very complex discussions of the psychology of the Supreme Lord and his devotees. It's not like mundane psychology at all. But there is a... I'll talk about that maybe in this talk or maybe in the next talk about the Vatsalya of Ram and toward Ram. The concept of being the father of God is something sensational in the Western world. It's or outside India in general. How can you be the father of God? In Christianity, that's the big thing, right? God is the Father, our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. So the whole thing is to think of God as the Father. Srila Prabhupada, by introducing Krishna to the Western world, for the first time gave the understanding that you can be the Father of God, which is impossible ontologically, because aham bija pradapita, Krishna says, I am the seed-giving Father of all living beings. And it makes sense. He's God. We're dependent on him. But in love, out of relationship of love, love overcomes everything, right? Not in the material world. Ask Romeo and Juliet, who never existed, but there may be so many Romeo and Juliet types. They died for their love. Death, in this material world, death overcomes everything. Death overcomes love. But in the spiritual world, there is no death. Love reigns supreme. And one can love the Supreme Lord as a father or a mother. It's not interchangeable. There's no sex change operations in the spiritual world. It's a bizarre, mad thing. There's no such thing. Nanda Maharaj is always the father of Krishna. Yashoda is always the mother. And Krishna relates to them accordingly. So the concept of God the Father in Christianity, that's also there in Vedic culture with the idea that God is our provider. And it's if we think of God as our provider, as children do to their parents, especially young children, that is definitely millions and millions of times better than being an atheist. It's incomparable. But at the same time, it's not a very high platform of love. If we think that love means selfless giving, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to decry the concept of thinking of God as the supplier of fuel to the blazing fire of our material desires. Or as Srila Prabhupada put it, quoting Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we should not take God as an order supplier. So a pious person who's a devotee in a nascent stage, not in a very developed stage, they will think they'll be a very good person. But they think, I am a very small living being. God is very great. That's very true. I'm concerned with my happiness. He recognizes that God is supreme. He recognizes that he is dependent upon God. But his concern, the concern of the materialistic devotee, is his own happiness, which he sees as being facilitated by God. He He worships God because he thinks that God will and does facilitate my happiness. And Krishna is prepared to reciprocate with such a mood, although he's not so happy with it. But it is some kind of beginning. It's a long way from Vrindavan. I'm sitting here in South India. A long way from Vrindavan. And if we go to America or Africa, we're further away. But we can be very close to Vrindavan, wherever we are, by loving Krishna. And we will be we'll be within the sphere of Krishna's mercy. Well, we're never outside the sphere of Krishna's mercy, but we come into the sphere of theism when we recognize God as our Father. Give us today, what is it? Give us our daily bread. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. It's okay, God, time for the pizzas. Forget the bread. So it's a beginning, but it's a long, long way from pure love of Krishna. But it's a good start to think that, well, I'm a tiny little being, I depend on God, and then thinking in terms of pious, moralistic, theist, he understands the dharma and adharma in Christian religion. They may not use that term exactly, but they're proper things to do according to what God wants us to do. We should follow the laws of God. The pious theist who's not really interested in pleasing Krishna for Krishna's sake, who looks up to God as the provider, he thinks, well, the universe is there and we're to enjoy it. That's how the Christian faith interprets that God gave man dominion over all the animals. So they interpret that to mean that, well, we can do whatever we damn well like with the animals. We can kill them, we can murder them, we can exploit them. What the hell does it matter? It's religious to give pain to animals because God gave us dominion. That's what comes out of this. Actually, it's a somewhat good mentality, but perverse also. It's a beginning of theism, but it's perverse also, in the sense that we think, well, God gave us the world to enjoy, so we have a right to enjoy it. Not thinking aham bija pratapita, that Krishna is the seed-giving father of all living beings. Not that we humans, we are privileged to exploit others. But this mentality is there. God is our Father. He's looking after us. He's the Lord of the universe, and we're His children. So yeah, the universe is His property, and we're His children. So a child in the Father's house has a lot of scope to enjoy himself. The father sets up, the father arranges all the comforts and facilities for the family so they can be happy. So people think that God made this world for us to be happy in. And some may even posit that, well, we should enjoy ourselves because that's what God wants us to do. He's our Father. So that mentality is there. And they may think that, yeah, well, we can go to the heavenly planets also by the arrangement of dharma. If we follow dharma, then we go to the heavenly planets and we'll enjoy more. He's the creator, I'm the created. He created us in this world, right? We're in this world, and it's God's world, and we're in it, and he created us in it. And he created us for us to enjoy. It's a big misunderstanding of the actual position. We are in this material world because we rejected that the spiritual position of serving Krishna for his pleasure. We're in the material world, which is a place of suffering, meant for our reformation. But if we have the idea that we worship God for our own enjoyment, then our worship of God will never come to proper fruition. He's the maintainer, I'm the maintained. He gives and I receive. He's strong, yeah, and I'm weak, but he gives us strength so that we can dominate this world. They recognize that he can destroy, and I can be destroyed, so I better be careful what I do. Fear God. Live in fear of the Lord, a relationship to the Father of fear. If you don't do what he says, he'll punish you. Well, again, that's a beginning. Rather than not caring at all and thinking, well, I don't care for any God, I'll just do whatever I damn well like. There's no God, I can do whatever I like. Oh, no, there is God, and you have to do what he says. Otherwise, you'll be punished. Well, it's a beginning. It's a long way from love. It's based on fear. The Lord is the lawmaker. I have to follow his laws. He's the judge. If he's the lawmaker and the judge. If I don't follow, I'm going to get in trouble. So I better follow. Actually, I'd like to do all kinds of sinful things, but I'm a good person, and I don't, and I do what God says. If I please him by doing what he says, then he'll reciprocate, and I can enjoy more by his blessing. So we do what he says. Okay, we do what he says. We're good. We are good because we do what God says. This is a long way from pure devotion, but it's a beginning. In pure devotion, one can also have the attitude, God is my Father. There are the sons of Krishna. Some of the names of them are listed in Srimad Bhagavatam. The most famous is Pradyumna. They have an attitude of reverence toward Krishna. Now, just imagine little baby sitting on the lap of the father, looking up with great dependence, great trust. That is the relationship we can have if we want to be actually taking God as the Father, not in some our Father who art in heaven. God is our Father, but he's in heaven. He's way up there somewhere. We're not exactly sure where it is, somewhere up beyond the clouds, sitting on a cloud somewhere. But our Father, where is our Father? I'm on his lap. I'm lying on his lap looking up at him. That's inconceivable to the Christian, isn't it? That he's actually our Father in the sense that, well, we think of, well my Father, Father, yeah, everyone has a Father, right? So, like that? Yeah, like that. But Krishna is not just any old Father, but Krishna is our Father. And Mother? The concept of God, the mother, is very strong in Vedic culture also, among those who call the Shaktas. I spoke a lot about the Shaktas and the worship of Shakti, the concept of God as the mother. I spoke a lot about that in the series of talks I gave on the Vishnu Sahasranam, the name Tirthakar, who makes Tirthas. So they see God as the mother, but it's different from the worship of the Shaktas, seeing God as the mother, as Durga, as Kali. It doesn't seem to me to be a very loving relationship. It's very much one of what she can do for us. Even Srila Prabhupada told a story of someone who install a deity of Kali, and then the deity after some time said, well, hey, could you make some offering? You're just asking me for everything. Could you make some offering to me? You know, I like some, usually after Kali, some a buffalo or a goat or a sheep or at least a chicken. And then the worshipper says, well, you know, why should I? No. Can't you offer me something, at least a chicken? And the worshipper said that, well, look, there's only flies buzzing around you. You're all powerful. Just catch a few of them and that'll be your sacrifice. So it's some kind of Vedic joke, if you like, but the idea is that there's no real gratefulness there. We see that in the worship of Durga, they worship for some days, Navaratri, they worship for 9 days, and they take the deity and chuck her in the river. Okay, we did what we're told to do. When we were worshiping you, we killed so many animals. We enjoyed eating them. It's a great festival which we enjoy. Now the festival's over, and we'll throw you in the river. Finished. Go away. We got enough blessings for the time being. See you next year. Something like that. Of course, there are temples of Durga which people go to throughout the year. But you can see the attitude. It's not a loving attitude. Srila Prabhupada writes, a son is indebted to his parents in so many ways. This is from a Bhagavatam purport. A son is indebted to his parents in so many ways, and it is the duty of the son to serve his parents, however great the son may be. So it's a matter of duty. The son may become very great, but still, however great he may be, the prime minister of the country or the president of the country, they still have a duty to serve his father and mother. In relation to his father and mother, he's always inferior, however great he may be. Of course, in this material world, we find parents who are not very loving, and especially at the present time, people have been indoctrinated, and it's just amazing the power of indoctrination, how the natural feelings of a parent toward the child have been perverted or destroyed in such a way that people feel it's quite okay to abort your children in the womb. Ugh. And people think it's okay. It's normal. Everyone does it, right? So what's the harm? Parents, maybe they grow up without love from their parents, and then they have children. And they don't give a damn about their children. They only give some money if they have a court case, there's some alimony case or something like this. Otherwise, they don't really care for their children at all. There are cases. It's quite common in the modern age. It's such a heartless age where you'd think that if someone would love you, at least your parents would. But increasingly we find that's not even there. Although, at least I can say here in India, and there may be many other countries in the world, the further away you get away from the so-called advanced progressive countries in the world, the closer you come to some semblance of actual human civilization. So here, at least in India, up to the present time, we see that parents, they do actually care for their children. And they there are cases of things which I don't want to talk about now, but in general we find that the parents are concerned, even if it's mixed with some motive of, my children have to look after me when I'm old, but that attitude is there. And the children, up to the present time, they have the feeling that, well, I have to serve my parents in their old age. And again, by the influence of our modern, advanced civilization, the waves of anti-civilization coming in from the so-called civilized West, the idea that we have to look after our parents, that's becoming compromised, people are becoming more selfish. But minimally, the children, if they recognize that God is my... God is my father, God is my mother, then there's a recognition that, well, I have to serve, I have to be reverent toward, I have to obey them. And especially in Bengal, it's famous, the Bengali mothers tend to be very doting and loving, and but the love of God, Bhaktavatsala, toward his devotees, it's more than millions and millions and millions of the most affectionate mothers that can even be imagined in this world. And again, more advanced than the concept of I am the son of God, I am the child of God, is that of having the Lord as our own child. I'm going to read from one of Srila Prabhupada's books, Krishna Consciousness, the Topmost Yoga System. I'm going to read one paragraph from that. Srila Prabhupada, it's from one of his lectures, which has been edited and put in this book. The concept of accepting God as a son is superior to the concept of accepting God as a father. Now, that may seem, that's not right, because if you think of a son, you're looking down on someone. You accept them as an inferior. But if you accept God as your father, then you're looking up to as a superior. Ah, that's true. But in consideration of love and service, to have God as your child, or to consider God as your child, that is superior. So I'll start reading the paragraph again. The concept of accepting God as a son is superior to the concept of accepting God as a father. There is a distinction. The relationship between father and son is that the son wants to take something from the father. So you see how we can see where this is going to, that it's better to think of God as one's son, because if one takes a position as the son, then you want to get something from him. So the love is not so developed. Srila Prabhupada continues, the father's relationship with the son is that the father always wants to give something to the son. So in this way, seeing God as the father is not as advanced as seeing him as the son. We may think, well, that's offensive or impossible. How can you have God as your son? But because the son wants to get something from the father and the father wants to give something to the son, therefore, in terms of spiritual love, it's more advanced to want to take the role of the parent of God rather than as the child of God. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, the relationship with God or Krishna as son is better than the relationship with Krishna by one who thinks, if I accept God as my father, then my business will be to ask for my necessities from the father. But if I become the father of Krishna, then from the very beginning of his childhood, my business will be to serve him. So we see, we're meant to serve God. The understanding of serving God is higher than the concept of taking from him. Or I serve him so that I get something from him. I'm a good boy. I behave very nicely at home. So my parents give me so many nice things and they don't punish me. So it's a calculated, selfish kind of goodness in be good and then God will bless you. And then God will give you all the things that you like in this world. That is the beginning of God realization. That's stated in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. You be good, you follow the rules, and then the demigods, the representatives of God, will give you all you want. It's a long way from pure love. Bhakta Vatsala is Vishnu Sahasranam. Vishnu has so many forms and he descends in this world as an avatar. All the avatars, they display this Bhakta Vatsala. All the avatars, they're called Bhakta Vatsala. All the avatars act in relationship with specific devotees. We can see all the devotees. Matsya Avatar, he interacted, he had some loving interrelationship with Satyavrata Muni. The Kurama Avatar, he appeared in relationship with all the demigods. Matsya, Kurama, Varaha appeared in relationship to his very dear devotee, the Earth, Mother Earth, and by extension, he appeared to benefit all the inhabitants of the Earth. So Matsya, Kurama, Varaha, Narasimha, very much, I'm going through the Dash Avatars here now. So Narasimha, very much, very clearly appeared to benefit Prahlad out of a feeling of great affection for Prahlada. Then Matsya, Nrisimha, Varaha, Narasimha, Parashuram. How did he act in relation to his devotee? Well, his father, Jamadagni. That's the very violent form of the Lord. But he acts for the benefit of the world by destroying the Kshatriyas who make difficulties for the theists. Then Vamana, he came out of great love for who? Kashyapa and Aditi, yes. For Indra, yes. For Bali Maharaj especially, yes. Then Ramachandra, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Especially, we should discuss more about Ram. He's so much Bhaktavatsala. It's seen so much in his personality, his character, everything he does. The whole Ramayana is there. We see his Bhaktavatsala. Especially Ram exhibits this from how he's very, like the king. The king is a representative of God because he acts like a parent toward his citizens. And Ram is the ideal king. And he was both the king and directly the Supreme Lord himself. And how much love he had for all his devotees. This concept of Bhakta Vatsalya, as I mentioned previously in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, is taken very strongly, is emphasized very much. And there's some very nice analysis that if we find the four sons of Dasharath, they're all Vishnu avatar. So there's Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, Shatrughna. Now, among the Ram is superior to them all. Lakshman serves this Ram so nicely. It's very, very famous how Lakshman serves him so nicely. Bharat serves him in separation. We hear a lot about Lakshman and his service to Lord Sri Ram, and we praise and we worship Lakshman as the great, great, great devotee. How he sacrificed all comfort to go to the forest to serve Lord Ram in all circumstances, and his very life was Lord Rama. But Bharat, his love is no less, because we don't hear much about him, but he's serving in separation from the Supreme Lord. He didn't have the opportunity to serve him directly, as did Lakshman. But we don't hear hardly anything about Shatrughna. But Shatrughna is considered by those who have analyzed this as the best among the three, because he's serving Bharat, who is a devotee. He's taking the role of a devotee, And because Shatrughna is, we don't hear much about him, but in terms of his devotion, he's considered the best because he's just like Lakshman serves Rama, so Shatrughna serves Bharat. So this is the analysis. Who are we to say who's best and who's not? But the Acharyas, they describe like this. Rama very clearly exhibits bhakta-vatsalya, how he's so kind and loving towards his devotees. Krishna obviously does. Yes, he makes his devotees happy. But sometimes Krishna is seen to deliberately make his devotees distressed. So what's this? So the acting bhakta-vatsala means he's acting out of kindness and love toward his devotees. A prime example of how Krishna deliberately made his devotees distressed is when Krishna had called the gopis by playing on his flute. The gopis came out of their homes despite the protests and the attempts to block them by their parents-in-law, their husbands. They ran to Krishna. Krishna played around with them a little bit and said, "You go home, go home, go home. Don't come here." But then eventually they start the rasa dance. And then all of a sudden, Krishna vanished from the rasa dance. And the gopis, they were just, "This is it. This is bliss. This is what we always wanted. There's nothing higher than this, dancing with Krishna." All of a sudden, Krishna's gone. And they're thrown into the ocean of complete distress. When you get something which you've wanted so much for so long. And remember, for the gopis, every moment without Krishna is like a whole eon. They wanted Krishna so much for so long, and then they got him at last. When you get something which you've desired so much, and then unimaginably you just lose it. So the gopis, they lost Krishna, and he's gone, and they don't know he's going to come back. It's like lost, as far as they're concerned. They might never see him again. They're thrown into the ocean of total distress by Krishna himself, his topmost devotees. He puts them into the greatest distress. How is this bhakta-vatsalya? I'm going to read from Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, quite a long section in this regard. Now, please listen carefully in regard to this consideration, how Krishna is bhakta-vatsala. After Krishna came back, or rather they found him, the gopis spoke to him. While smiling, they confidentially expressed their suppressed anger. They were feeling angry. We gave everything for Krishna, and he just vanished from us. And smilingly, in their feminine way, they didn't show their anger. They said to Krishna, "Dear Krishna, we are ordinary women of Vrindavan, and we do not know much about Vedic knowledge, what is right and what is wrong. We therefore put a question to you, and since you are very learned, you can answer it properly. In dealings between lovers, we find that there are three classes of men." See, the gopis, when they're not with Krishna, they're talking. It's just like women, they gossip. You see, in this material world, they talk about love affairs, maybe between cinema artists and this and that. So the gopis, they talk about love, and they've made some analysis. There are three classes of men, the gopis say, in dealings between lovers. One class simply receives love. Another class reciprocates favorably, even if the lover is very contrary. And the third class neither acts contrary nor answers favorably in dealings of love. So out of these three classes, which do you prefer or which do you call honest? They're trying to catch Krishna and put him on the spot. And so, see, you don't reciprocate properly with us. You're not very good. They're trying to get through to Krishna and say, hey, you shouldn't deal with us like this. So they're saying indirectly by, they're saying, we're not very learned in Vedic knowledge. We're just ordinary women, but we're ordinary women, but they're very intelligently trapping Krishna to prove, to make himself admit that he's not a very nice person. These are very high topics. Talks between Krishna and the gopis in the matter of the Ras Lila. It's in Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. I'll continue reading. In answer, Krishna said, my dear friends, persons who simply reciprocate the loving dealings of the other party. You see, Krishna, he's got a good reply. Persons who simply reciprocate the loving dealings of the other party are just like merchants. They give in loving affairs as much as they get from the other party. Practically, there is no question of love. It is simply self-interested or self-interested business dealing. In other words, you love me, I love you. You don't love me, I don't love you. Krishna continues, even those without a tinge of loving affairs are better than these merchants. You pay and you go to a prostitute. There's no love. Krishna says it's better than persons who they don't really love, but they make some kind of show of it as long as they get it. Krishna says, better than this first class, and here we're talking about first class in terms of the order that they're being discussed, not in terms of their gradation, because better than the first class is the second class of men who love in spite of the opposite party's contrariness. Such sincere love can be seen when the father and mother love their children in spite of their children's neglect. So there we go. That's touching on the subject of parental love. The third class neither reciprocate nor neglect. They can be further divided into two classes. This is the science of love, which Krishna and the gopis are discussing. They're all very learned in these subjects. They know about it. Two classes. One comprises the self-satisfied who do not require anyone's love. They are called Atma Rama, which means they are absorbed in the thought of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and so do not care whether one loves them or not. But another class comprises ungrateful men. They are called callous. And wait a minute, it seems like Krishna is describing himself. Ungrateful men who are callous. The gopis must be thinking, hey, yeah, you're talking about yourself, aren't you? Right, yeah. We came, we gave ourselves, we sacrificed everything for you, and you just left us. You're ungrateful. Hey, what are you talking about? You're talking about yourself. Krishna continues. The men in this group revolt against superior persons. For instance, a son, in despite of receiving all kinds of things from loving parents, may be callous and not reciprocate. Even to not mistreat a parent who has done everything for you, to not kill them or slap them in the face, but just to not care for them, that in itself is wrong, Krishna says. And of course, it's a fact. Krishna continues, those in this class are generally known as Guru Druha, which means they receive favors from the parents or the spiritual master and yet neglect them. Krishna indirectly answered the questions of the gopis, even those questions which implied that Krishna did not properly reciprocate their dealings. In answer, Krishna said that he, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is self-satisfied. He does not require anyone's love. So here Krishna is playing like an ordinary boy, but to get out of the spot that the gopis have put him on, he says, well, actually, I'm God. I don't need your love. I'm fully satisfied in myself. So he's making an excuse. I'm God. Hey, I can do what I like. I'm God. He does not require anyone's love, but at the same time, he said that he is not ungrateful. Not ungrateful? Not ungrateful? Listen to some more. My dear friends, Krishna continued, you might be aggrieved by my words and acts, but you must know that sometimes I do not reciprocate my devotees' dealings with me. Really? How is that? Listen on. My devotees are very much attached to me, but sometimes I do not reciprocate their feelings properly. Krishna admits, they're very attached to me. Well, why don't you react and be attached to them? Krishna says, sometimes I do not reciprocate their feelings properly in order to increase their love for me more and more. Now, that's very strange, isn't it? If you love someone and they don't respond to you, then you don't want to love them. But Krishna, if we actually love Krishna, and Krishna knows that we actually love him, then Krishna pretends or plays as if he doesn't care about you. And then you become more and more mad to get it if we're actually attached to Krishna. Krishna says, if I can very easily be approached by them, my devotees, they might think Krishna is so easily available. Now, just see Krishna in Vrindavan and Krishna in Dwaraka. There is something of this in Dwaraka, isn't there, where Krishna's always with his queens, and they all every queen thinks that Krishna is with me alone, Krishna loves me the best. We see that even when Krishna joked with Rukmini and said, well, actually you should reject me and I'm useless. The very thought that Krishna was even prepared not to live with her and be with her, Rukmini just couldn't take it. She just fainted. She couldn't imagine it. They're fully complacent, if you like, spiritually complacent, that Krishna is mine, which is very high level, mamta in relationship to Krishna. Krishna is mine, but in Vrindavan, Krishna says to the gopis, if I can be very easily approached by my devotees, they might think Krishna is so easily available. So sometimes I do not respond. If a person has no money, but after some time accumulates some wealth and then loses it, he will think of the lost property 24 hours a day. Ah, now see. Krishna is giving the example. The gopis wanted Krishna. They wanted it. They wanted Krishna. They wanted Krishna. They got Krishna. Then they lost him. So he will think of the lost property 24 hours a day. Similarly, in order to increase the love of my devotees, sometimes I appear to be lost to them, and instead of forgetting me, they feel their loving sentiments for me increase. This is Bhaktivatsalya of the highest level, that he puts his devotees into distress, which seems incongruous. If you love someone, why do you put them into distress? But you put them into distress so that their love increases more and more and more. This is only possible on the platform of completely pure devotion. Otherwise, people, they may believe in God, but then when things go wrong for them, they think, oh, now God doesn't love me. Or there cannot be a God, because if God loved me, then he would make things nice for me. And so people become atheists. But pure devotees, their love for Krishna increases in all circumstances, but Krishna arranges such circumstances whereby their love for him increases by not having him. In order to increase the love of my devotees, sometimes I appear to be lost to them, just like Krishna appeared to be lost to the gopis during the Rasa Leela. And instead of forgetting me, they feel their loving sentiments for me increase. My dear friends, do not think for a moment that I've been dealing with you as I do with ordinary devotees. I know what you are. You have forsaken all kinds of social and religious obligations. You have given up all connection with your parents. Without caring for social convention and religious obligations, you have come to me and loved me, and I am so much obliged to you that I cannot treat you as ordinary devotees. Why was Krishna so cruel to the gopis? Because he could not treat them as ordinary devotees. Their very highest love for him, he wanted to increase it even more and more and more and more and more, exponentially. Do not think that I was away from you. I was near to you. I was simply seeing how much you were anxious for me in my absence. So Krishna was near. He was watching the gopis and seeing how they became mad for Krishna in his absence. So please do not try to find fault with me, Krishna said. There always between Krishna and the gopis, there's always some one-upmanship or one-up womanship going on. Who's the best in transcendental loving rivalry? Do not find fault with me. Because you consider me so dear to you, kindly excuse me if I have done anything wrong. I cannot. Now, this is bang the drums. This is the gopis' glory is revealed by Krishna in this statement, which we'll read from Krishna book next. I, Krishna, says to the gopis, I cannot repay your continuous love for me. Naparayeham, I cannot repay your continuous love. I am incapable. I am the Supreme Lord. I'm the Supreme Lover. I'm Bhakta Vatsala. I love everyone. I maintain everyone. I protect them. I reciprocate their love. But you gopis, I cannot repay your continuous love for me, even through the lifetimes of the demigods in the heavenly planets. It is impossible to repay you or show enough gratitude for your love. Therefore, please be satisfied by your own pious activities. You have displayed exemplary attraction for me, overcoming the greatest difficulties arising from family connections. Please be satisfied with your highly exemplary character, for it is not possible for me to repay my debt to you. Bhakta Vatsala defeated. His love for his devotees is defeated by their love for him. We're not going to cross out the name Bhakta Vatsala from Vishnu Sahasranama. But we'll take this opportunity, having been given it by Srila Prabhupada, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to see how this name, Bhakta Vatsala, sometimes he becomes defeated by his devotees. Their love for him completely overwhelms and subdues his love for the devotees. And again, this, although these concepts are definitely there in other Vaishnava sampradayas, they're brought to full perfection in the Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. All glories to his divine grace, all glories to Bhakta Vatsala, Hare Krishna, Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Dante Nidhaya Churnakang Padaya Nipatya. kritvacha karkushatamedhad aham ravimi. Hey, sadhava sakala eva vihaya durad goranga chandra sharane kurutanu radaha. Parivadatu jano yata tata va. Nanu mukaro na vayam vichara yamaha hari rasa madira madati mata bhuvi vilutama nartama nirvishama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama.